This seance was recorded on the 25th of January, 1967. Medium Leslie Flint.
Thank you. How are you?
Well, I'm very well. Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you.
It's the second time.
Yes, you're getting well advanced now. Nikki, could you tell me a little about your setting in spirit?
Setting?
Yes, you are your usual little abode there. You give such nice little sort of pictures in a nutshell of your life over there when you're not helping us, I mean.
Well, oh dear, that's a big order.
Is it? Oh dear.
Because I spend such a lot of time with the medium and helping people on your side. Of course I do have quite a, I suppose you'd call it time, understanding of time over here. But until medium packs up, you know, until he's finished his work on Earth, I sort of am stationary. I may not choose it myself. I mean, no one
yes,
else playing, but
you do return to spirit.
Oh yes,
don't
I have
you?
My own environment, and I'm very happy in the work I do and the interest I have. I've become very interested in music, for instance.
Yes, yes.
Like I told you that before, didn't I?
Pardon?
I did ever tell you that before?
Yes, I remember you're saying that, yes, and you're teaching. Have you got a nice climate?
Lovely place, you know, it's very countrified, and yet I suppose in a way you could also say parts is what you would term a town. I suppose it's a community of souls, of peoples, who have made a certain amount of progress, of course, and we have many interesting things, such as musical concerts and even theatres and places where people can congregate and have discussions and take an interest in the community. We don't have parliaments or organised sort of things like you do.
No.
Everything here is run by goodwill.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah. One doesn't sort of think of disobeying or doing things that one shouldn't do. Everyone is automatically out to be of service with love in their hearts, and the whole desire is to do what is best for all concerned, not thinking so much of self. Of course one is concerned with self, one must be, but one doesn't have that uppermost in one's mind, you know?
No. Have you many nice friends?
Oh, all sorts of friends, of all types, and I suppose you'd call them all nationalities, at least they were when on Earth. But over here there's a levelling out too, and we don't have nationalities as you understand it. And for that matter, colour, which is a very important thing on Earth, unfortunately people make an issue of it, doesn't exist with us. We don't think any different about a person because they, when on Earth, lived in Burma or China, than, here we're one.
That's right.
Of course, it is true to say that in the early stages of coming over here, you do find people cling together of the same national. But the point is, that's only a temporary thing. A lot of it is due to inexperience and habit and so on. And one soon changes one's outlook and thought, and one then begins to accept and understand there are other issues and there are other important things, more important than the individual or more important than class or even creed, which does exist on certain spheres over here. People still cling to old philosophies and ideas and creeds, dogmas, etc., according to what they believe on Earth. But these things soon pass, and then they get into a condition of life similar to the one in which I live, in which people live together in a community, in a happy unity, serving each other and thinking not of self but of the common good, and the realisation that has come upon people that there is every opportunity for growth, and that to grow mentally and spiritually, to adjust oneself gradually, brings the opportunity to advance into spheres and conditions of life far beyond, well, even that which we are fully conscious of. We understand that we are in a condition of life which is subject to growth and change. Although
yes,
we are happy in our environment, we're ever conscious of other environments and conditions which we shall adjust ourselves to in due course when we are ready. There is no rush or hurry, everything is calm and placid, and everybody is serving the community with the best of thought and intention, realising that these are stepping stones to greater experiences.
Oh, that's lovely, Mickey. You give me an idea for the title of my book.
Whatever.
Stepping stones.
Oh, stepping stones.
Very nice, isn't it?
Yes, that's true.
I was thinking of milestones to maturity, but I think that's better. Thank you, Nicky. Have you got a nice climate?
Yes, it's a very what you would call mild, I suppose. There's no darkness, there's no sort of clouds. The heavens, if you can term them such, are like you'd experience on a bright sunny day. There's a warmth, but I'm not subject to seasons as you are, and we don't have the changing of the sun and the stars and the moon, etc.
No. Can you see our Earth from where you are?
Not from where we are in the same sense that you can't see our world from where you are.
No,
But we can be conscious of it, and as we bring it into our consciousness and remembrance of things past and peoples that we've known and loved that still exist on Earth, and the remembrances of things that happened to us and places that we've known, so as we bring those into our consciousness and awareness, so they become, as it were, visible to us. In other words, we can transport ourselves by the power of thought and entering into a condition of thought, and which makes it possible to link up and be one, temporarily at least, with the people we've known in the past and people we love, and also on such occasions as this to make communication.
Yes, that's wonderful, Nicky. Thank you.
You see, a lot of people have such strange ideas. They don't seem to realise that, for instance, at a seance such as this, we can't necessarily put a person in touch with someone just because they wish it, for the simple reason that particular person or persons they want most to be in touch with may not be present, and therefore we, as individuals from our own particular sphere, are not necessarily able or conscious of the particular sphere or condition of life which the person concerned that they desire to contact, what condition they are in.
I see.
But if, for instance, your mother or your husband, as your husband does constantly, is with you and knows that you're coming to such an occasion as this, he will make a point of coming with you. Then, of course, obviously he's present. And
I
therefore
see.
He's visible to us.
I thought he was with me today. Everything went swimmingly, you know. Good.
Yes, well, that's a very nice thought, but you mustn't get the idea in your head that some people do, that just because you are, shall we say, a spiritualist, and that you have the awareness of presence of souls you love, and that they are with you quite often, that they can necessarily smooth the path. Of course they can, and they do, from time to time, in certain ways, but you mustn't get the idea that because of this knowledge, that you are specially privileged, and that therefore all the obstacles in your path in life will be smoothed out, because although these things may be from time to time, it's not necessarily a common thing.
No. I've been very fortunate, I know.
You understand what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, some people say, oh, well, I'm all right, my guy's looking after me, you see.
Yes.
And they leave everything to us, which is stupid.
Yes.
I mean, you are living in a material world, and you will be beset by material conditions, obviously, and the effect upon you of other people's thoughts and actions. Though we may try to influence those people whose thoughts and actions may affect you detrimentally, we may not necessarily always be successful, because we cannot make people change if they don't want to.
No, I see.
Actually, being a spiritualist means that you have greater responsibilities, not necessarily an easier path.
Oh, no, I understand that, yes.
A lot of people don't know it like that, though, do
they?
Oh, no, really, they don't.
Really?
No, as soon as they're in a spot of a bother or jam, they get in touch or try to get in touch with people on this side. Come on, I'm in a mess. Come on, help me out. Do this, do that.
You know? Do they? What an extraordinary attitude.
Oh, that's how they are, mate. I should know.
Yes, you should. Well, thank you, Vicky.
That doesn't mean to say, of course, that we don't try to help the people we know and love. Of course we do. But it doesn't necessarily mean to say that we can always do it or achieve it, does it?
No.
You see, you are living in a material world and you're bound to have all sorts of problems from time to time of a material nature. And these things, being material, are more difficult sometimes for us to manage than even the people concerned on Earth.
Yes, you haven't got economic difficulties, have you? You're rather lucky.
Oh, well, of course, we have no need for banks and money over here.
No.
And here you work for love.
Yes.
And experience. You don't do it before you're going to get out of it in the material sense. Everything you do here must be from spiritual desiring.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, you don't want to talk to me all the morning, do you?
Oh, no, I'd like to hear that just now. Well, that's been very interesting, Mickey. You have on one or two occasions spoken, and it's been so interesting.
I think Mickey could tell you a great deal.
Yes, he has, dear.
Of great interest, which would be probably a different, not necessarily a different conception, not necessarily different in its context, but the approach and the attitude of mind, which obviously must be different in some instances, such as Mickey from myself, for instance.
Yes, it's been very nice.
You see, everyone will give to you their realization and picturization of life as they know it and see it over here, and their attitude. Fundamentally, of course, all these things tie up. They're all fundamentally the same. But there are many issues and many aspects of life according to the individual which may vary. After all, not everyone coming from a great continent will give you the same picture. They may be in an entirely different part of the continent on your side. Or it may well be they both, two people might be living in the same city and yet give you quite a different picture, because their interests and their attitude of mind towards life and as they know it and see it may be very different.
Yes.
You see, you're bound to have diversity of opinion even from this side.
Of course. You're going to give me a rather more detailed picture of your own setting, dear. Last time you told me about your little Georgian house and your garden. What about other things, trees and things? Are they like ours?
Oh yes, we have, from the point of view of nature, from the point of view of surroundings, we have, I suppose, as near as one can say, everything that is common to Earth, but not necessarily only in one country. I mean, for instance, there are all manner of trees which normally you wouldn't see, say, in England, that exist over here. In other words, there are natural settings familiar to all peoples when they come.
Yes.
So no one sort of even there feels out of it. Everyone feels that this can be and is for them a happy atmosphere and condition of life. It's a familiar one too, because we have all the varying degrees of setting, not just only trees and forests. We have lakes, we have rivers, we have what you would term mountainous country in appearance, but it isn't necessarily identically the same, although in some senses it appears so. We have all that you associate with scenic grandeur and beauty on earth, but much more that we couldn't even begin or hope to describe. We don't till the soil because that's not necessary. For instance, there are all sorts of things which are necessary to us, and there are many things which we do which has a definite purpose. But not many of the things that one associates with Earth, because those things are purely material and are necessary while on Earth, but not necessarily here. We grow flowers. I say we grow them. This may sound odd. We do grow them in as much as we tend them and care for them and we give our love and affection to them and watch them grow. But I've never yet known, for instance, of a flower that has died. I'm not suggesting there are not spheres where flowers do appear seasonally. They may well be near Earth. They may be more subject to Earth conditions. But where I am, the flowering shrubs and trees and so on always seem to be permanently at their best. There's no dying off.
Oh, lovely. And what do you do, dear, in this glorious setting?
Appreciate it, of course.
Yes.
And I think it is our affection, our love for nature, for what we term nature, that keeps it ever flowering and ever beautiful. There's no dying off, there's no... I mean, a gardener here may almost seem an unnecessary individual. inasmuch that he doesn't have the laborious tasks that one associates with gardening on earth. But there is an attention that is given which is more of a mental than a spiritual nature rather than physical, of course. And there is, as it were, a setting that is devised without the actual planting, without the actual setting out. And this may sound even stupid, but it's the only way I can hope to depict it. A person may have a beautiful garden, but it is a garden which they themselves, the individuals themselves, have thoughtfully created. But there is no physical effort. There is a mental and a spiritual one. And then again, there are certain laws that, for instance, certain things cannot be given or cannot apply until the individual concerned has made himself worthy of it. And to some extent, it's almost true to say that one's thoughts create that which is necessary or that which is needful, but you can only create it when your thoughts are right, when you yourself have made it possible by your actions and your thoughts, not necessarily only on earth, but over here too, because there is always growth here, always the possibility of new thought, new ideas, new aspects of truth to assimilate. But all that exists, even though it is created in a sense by thought, is certainly a reality. That is, it has texture, it has weight, it has substance. But it may well be that when one leaves a particular sphere or plan to which one has been adjusted for so long, when one goes forth, as it were, into a new vibration, a new condition of life which one has earned or merited, that which one leaves behind may cease to exist. I don't know for certain whether this is so or not, but I assume it could well be. One would like to think that one has left behind something of beauty for someone to take up when you go further afield, and this may well be, but I have no proof that it does so. I think that it seems to me, anyway, that whatever sphere or condition of life you find yourself, you have merited it in the first place, and secondly, you have got to, by your very nature and your very being, have got not only to keep it flourishing, but even to improve it. I'm referring here, of course, to the surroundings and the condition of life which you yourself, by yourself and your effort, have made possible, such as one's house or one's or one's interests or whatever it may be that happens to one here is obviously something that one has merited or created or made possible by thought and effort and so on.
Yes.
Nothing here is haphazard. Everyone seems to get what I suppose you would call justice, a consideration, and that one receives what one merits. Everything one has, everything one does, everything one becomes must be merited, must be made possible by one's own achievement and effort.
Yes, that doesn't seems just happen, very right.
Hazard, you say.
Yes.
I mean, for instance, on earth, of course, you do get all sorts of things which seem to be so unjust, and I suppose in a sense they are. But you see, there again, one often has false values. It's true there are those who are blessed materially, that is, in a financial sense, and they may have what seems to the average person the best of everything, beautiful home, beautiful garden, opportunity to move about, to travel, freedom of expression, because they are in a position to be able to say and do more or less what they wish. This may seem a blessing, but it isn't necessarily so.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be a drawback. Sometimes it can block the path, as it were, of progress with an individual. Instead of making them more understanding, more thoughtful, more kind, more tolerant, more patient, they become all the worse, I think.
Yes. Have you any special friends over there, dear?
Oh, I have many, many friends.
Mm-hmm. What many, do you do together?
Many new friends. Oh, we also, of course, we have interest in what you would term hobbies or sports. I mean, if a person wants to play tennis, if he's addicted to tennis, if he likes the game, he can play it. If a person wants to play billiards, he can play billiards. In fact, one can do all the things that one did on Earth in the way of sports and games and interests, at least the majority, and improve upon them. And of course there are other sports and games which we indulge in. But as I've often said to you, and I suppose many people must have said, one of the most pleasurable pastimes, although pastime is not a very good word, but because it isn't given, one doesn't indulge in it for the sake of passing time as such. But music plays a very important part of our lives. And very few people do not take an interest in music. Not necessarily to play, but music speaks to us. Music is a language. It is a vibrational sound which gives us, as it were, a consciousness and awareness of other spheres. Indeed, certain selves from other spheres do bring to us what you would call knowledge, or expressions of knowledge, or expressions of thought forces appertaining to their own lives through music. Music is a very important factor.
And you all meet together, do you,
Yes,
in your own homes?
Oh yes, but of course there are also great what you would call amphitheatres, or natural theatres, and the what you would term the outdoors, and what you would call, I suppose, open-air concerts. But everything here, there again, you see, as I say, everything has its meaning and its purpose. Nothing seems to be done just for the mere sake of pleasure as such. I don't mean necessarily that because of this that anything is boring. I mean, everything that happens to us, whether it is in music, in concerts, or conversation, or sport, or interests, there is always a purpose and a meaning, something behind it which is helpful. There's no wasting, in a sense. I was going to use the term time, but I don't think that really applies.
Yeah.
Yet, in a sense, we have a sort of an awareness of a kind of time, but not as you know it, not by the clock or the movement of the sun or moon or stars. If these things don't apply. But we have the realization of change, which I can say, I suppose, is the only way of saying we know time. But it's not a change which is, as you understand it, it is a change which is ever there, but it's so subtle, but it's a slight awareness or consciousness of the meaningfulness of everything and the purpose behind all things that we think and do. But you must try to realize, if not more than anything else, that we live in a natural world, a real world, a purposeful world, a world of happiness and a world of tranquility, of ever-growing need for new ventures, new experiences, which are always exciting, in which we are helped tremendously by souls, indeed from other spheres, who bring to us, through what you would term lectures, if you like, although that's a poor word, because we are often given what you would call lessons, and yet it's not like going to school, because it's too much of a happy event. It's something which happens automatically and almost, you might say, naturally. Souls demonstrate powers, and they demonstrate vision in what you would call a picturization, probably like a moving picture screen in a cinema, in a sense, because we can be brought together in a community and we can be shown in the atmosphere events, not only of past events in history. In fact, there's nothing lost of any consequence. It is possible to go back in time in this picturization of past events where nations and peoples were concerned, which affected them in various ways. In fact, one's own personal self can be involved in this. One can see past events in which one's self took place. These are all things that are registered and which can be drawn, as it were, to one's consciousness by effort and by the help of those more experienced.
Could you go as far back as Atlantis, ancient history, or only just...
Everything that has ever happened of any consequence to man is recorded in a most miraculous sort of way. And one can learn from these experiences, and one can tap these sources of consciousness. But of course these things take a lot of learning, a lot of understanding how to achieve it and how to do it, you see.
Yes, yes.
We need help, and we receive help from cells, highly advanced cells. And of course, the more highly evolved one obviously becomes, the less necessary it is to draw on past experiences. One has adjusted oneself gradually to the realization of the life in which one finds oneself, and the past which has contributed in a very important way over perhaps even centuries of time no longer has the same impact or pull. But we can, if we want to, or if perhaps it's felt necessary to do so, can tune in to those conditions.
Yes. The higher reaches of spirit rather terrify me, dear. Is that, of course, I suppose.
Why they should? Because these things are so slow. In other words, they come upon one in such a slow way that one has become so mentally and spiritually adjusted over, I suppose you might say, eons of time, if one can put it like that. One doesn't necessarily, I mean, I'm talking here in a way which might confuse you, because one may be thousands of years on one plane. That is, by your understanding of time.
Yes, so that we must take that into consideration.
One mustn't think that anything happens suddenly. Mm. Everything is a gradual adjustment.
As you go from plane to plane, so to speak, do you die? Have you to die, or...?
Not in the same way that one would die on Earth. It's not a death in that sense. It's a losing of consciousness and then becoming aware of new conditions and surroundings. It's not a death in the same way. It's not a physical death of dying of a body and a new one. As far as I can gather, it certainly isn't like a physical death.
Yeah.
Anyway, perhaps sometime I may be able to find out more details.
Well, I rather feel that you're on the fourth sphere, the colour sphere. From what I've read?
Well, it may well be, but this business of numbering spheres or calling them by names may be helpful for people on Earth to get some idea, but really we don't have any names or any places as such.
Yeah.
I suppose one can only say that every plane is a state of awareness, a consciousness, in which everything about it is real and you are real with it. In other words, it is one's particular world or one's particular form of existence and life. But we know that it will gradually change. As we change, so our surroundings and conditions will change. In other words, all the time we are slowly but surely progressing. But as I said, the progress is so slow that one just doesn't realize. It's rather like on Earth. When you're very young, you come to imagine old age, and indeed the progress from childhood, while you're living it, that is on Earth, seems very slow indeed. Although as you get older, the time may seem to go more quickly. In a sense, it's all an illusion, this time.
Yes, yes.
And of course, it's impossible for us to analyze these things in that sense. We're not subject to time anywhere.
One
need never fear what is yet to come, believe me. It is something which one should look forward to with open and welcome with open arms, to be overjoyed, to realize that you will be free of all the material worries and all the confusions of the earth. With no more will there be the same problems that have beset you, that you will be in a world where there is progression, every opportunity for progress, in a happier condition among peoples near and dear to you, and others who will be of great help and comfort to you. Everything here is harmonious. We are living in a harmonious world, a world of freedom of speech, freedom of thought, in which we can truly progress and find true happiness. No one need fear death. It's a gateway to life. I must go. But all my love and bless you, and a big kiss for him.
Thank you, darling. It's been wonderful, hasn't it?
Marvellous.
Yes, wonderful.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Mickey, and thank you for your little effort. I shall enjoy reading that.
It is very well today, isn't it?
Yes.
Marvellous, rather.
Yes. It's just my little questions ought to keep him off religion.
Oh,
that's all right. I just try. Yes, for